And now I know who should be tossed out of this game. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you, and I recognize a foul ball when I see one.
Yes, and ladies and gentlemen, it's not because it's the middle of September and our hometown Cincinnati Reds, well, home state Cincinnati Reds, I should say, are deep in the hunt for a pennant, looking like they're going to cruise into the playoff in the NL Central here in about 2 or 3 days. But baseball is on people's minds right now, Chuck. A lot of people are fans of various teams out there, and some of them still have hopes, and some of them, well, like Cubs fans and Mets fans, don't. But when it gets right down to it, one clear rule with baseball is that things have to be fixed. You have to know what is a strike and what's a ball. You have to touch a base in order to claim it if you are a runner. You have to tag a runner or tag the base if he has nowhere else to go if you're on defense. You have to be able to hit the ball if you're going to score. And you have to play great defense and keep players off the bases if you're going to win the game on defense. Those are just basic, unchangeable rules, Chuck. But it seems like baseball analogies get used in a lot of other areas. And one that we interesting, shockingly so, is one that was used by a now retired, thankfully, federal judge from California, Judge Vaughn R. Walker. Now, most of our listeners, Chuck, I don't believe are going to be familiar at all with the name Vaughn R. Walker. However, they should be, shouldn't they?
Well, if they want to understand worldview issues, they should make themselves familiar with Vaughn R. Walker, and we're going to help out with that.
We're going to help out today. Well, Vaughn R. Walker must be a fan of the San Francisco Giants, maybe, because he was a federal judge in the San Francisco area, and he is the judge that nullified the people's vote on Proposition 8, which, ladies and gentlemen, to refresh your memory, Prop 8 was the measure that was put on the ballot in California and passed by the voters of California to make marriage between one man and one woman, similar to what Issue 1 did in Ohio in 2004. However, homosexual rights activists went to court after the election, after the people of the state of California had voted in the majority to support this, and yes, Judge Vaughn R. Walker of the Northern District Court of California used pretzel logic, as Chuck and I like to call it, to overturn the will of the voters of California and say that, well, really, they didn't know what they were talking about, and so therefore, we're going to nullify the election. Chuck, he's a fan of baseball because he has now written an article in some law reviews as a retired judge, and his article was called Moving the Strike Zone. And he says that what judges do, and I quote this, what judges do and must do is move the strike zone. Now, Chuck, if you have ever watched or listened to a baseball game, which I'm sure that a number of our listeners have, I know I have, you know that it's frustrating for a batter, for a pitcher and a catcher, if you have an umpire who decides that, well, a strike is going to be anywhere near the knees and not from the knees up to the shoulders, and maybe if he pitches under your nose, we'll call that a strike too. Let's say if he goes in on your elbows inside, well, he's off the plate by about 4 inches, but we're going to call that a strike. Pretty soon, it makes it frustrating when you don't have a uniform system of knowing what's a strike and what's not. It's frustrating for the batter, and it's frustrating for the pitcher and the catcher, because you never know what that umpire is going to do because he doesn't seem like he's wanting to follow the rule book.
Well, Barry, it's interesting you bring this analogy up because it brings to mind a lecture that I listened to from Dr. John Eidsmo. And those of you who know something about our Constitution class know that Dr. John Eidsmo is the teacher that we use in the recorded lectures that we use for that class. And a more updated version of that class that we use, he gives an example. And one of those examples is an umpire in a baseball game. And he said there are three views of law. One law is, using the umpire as an example, says, I call balls and strikes as it's written in the rule book. Okay, that's a fair judge. And what that judge does, says Eidsmo, is he knows there's a law, that it's a fixed law, and that he does his best to apply that law as it's written. Now, there's another judge who looks at this way. He says, I calls him as I sees him. In other words, that judge realizes that sometimes there's nebulous parts of the law, that there is a fixed law, but that sometimes his job is to take and interpret that law and do his best to apply it in according to the spirit and as it is written. And the third method of viewing the law is, they ain't nothing until I call them. Now, of course, that's exactly what Judge Von R. Walker
has
said.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
They ain't nothing until I call them. In other words, the job of the referee or the umpire is not to decide where the strike zone is. That's written in the rule book, Barry. Every kid who's ever played Little League knows that the strike zone is between the shoulder and the knee, period. That's where it is. That's one of the reasons you crouch when you're in your batting stance, because it actually shortens the strike zone. That, and it gives you a little more power when you hit.
That's right.
But the fact is, you shorten the strike zone, it gives the pitcher a harder job to do. This guy says, no, no, no. We have a batter who's at a disadvantage because maybe he's a little shorter or maybe a little taller, or maybe he has a curved spine, or maybe he has this or that other disability that makes it harder for him to hit. And therefore, we just changed the strike zone for him because, after all, quote unquote, it's fair. And what this judge has done is said, there is no fixed law. The fixed law is whatever I say the law is. Now, once these guys rule, here's what's interesting, Barry. Once these guys rule, then the law suddenly becomes fixed.
Yeah.
You can't mess with it. Stare decisis.
Exactly. It's a do as I say, not as I do kind of situation.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is where the pretzel logic comes in. The law wasn't fixed before. I'm allowed to come in and make it say what I want it to say, but once I do that, you can't touch it.
That's right, because once the umpire has ruled, it goes down in the record book, and therefore it's permanent. Now, Judge Walker, I mean, he really takes this baseball analogy to heart, and he says basically, case by case, what judges do and do is take account of the pitcher and the batter in the legal arena, watch the windup, the throw, the curve, and the delivery, and then, where they believe appropriate, move the strike zone. So in other words, if he likes the home team better than the away team, well, he'll call a generous strike zone anytime the home team's pitching, but a very stingy strike zone anytime the away team's pitching. Chuck, I'm afraid that in the game of baseball, Von Walker would probably lose his certification as an umpire. He would be he would be benched at the best, or kicked out of baseball for being unjust, for not following the rule book. However, Von Walker knows that, and that's the reason why he doesn't think he's an umpire, because he knows he's never going to get thrown out as an appointed judge.
Oh, that's right. This is one of the problems you have with permanent, lifelong, quote-unquote lifelong judgeships. Now, of course, in the U.S. Constitution, which is where Walker serves in the Northern District of California, is he a state judge?
No, federal district judge.
He's a federal. That's what I thought. He's in the Ninth Circuit. He's in Northern California District. Sorry, I lost track of where I was for a minute. This guy is, quote unquote, a judge for life. Well, that's, of course, not what the Constitution says, although he would move the strike zone on that to serve himself. But, of course, he serves during times of good behavior. One of the aspects of good behavior is that you not simply change the rules and do things in such a way and then claim that you have immunity from any form of oversight, which is what federal judges currently do. There's another aspect here. What's interesting that you brought up that whole thing about being removed from the game. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the NFL is using replacement officials.
Yes, they are right
now. Due to some kind of labor dispute, and I don't know the ins and outs of that, because I'm going to be quite honest with you. I used to be an NFL fan, and I'm not anymore. So I don't pay much attention. I watch a game occasionally because I like to. But
sure.
In any case, a replacement line judge, was just removed from a game because, if I'm not mistaken, he was an ardent Kansas City Chiefs fan, and they had him officiating a Kansas City Chiefs game. Well, that doesn't work. Everybody has prejudices, Barry, and we can't all say that we're not going to apply them. Judge Walker is, shall we say, in the same terminology, is not a Kansas City Chiefs fan, but in the game of homosexual marriage, he has an ardent interest in how the game is played, does he not?
Well, yes, he's rooting for the home team in San Francisco, the homosexual rights activists, because Judge Von Walker is openly gay.
and therefore had no business.
He should have recused himself or been removed by the administrative body over the federal district court because of having an undue interest in the case from his own personal perspective. But he's happy as a clam to be there because he gets to be the umpire and he gets to change the strike zone, and he did on the people of California, saying that no matter how well they pitched that ball, they never would be able to get a strike. Every one of them were either balls or fair in play for the home team so that they could score. And what they scored was having Proposition 8 overturned as unconstitutional because of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. An interesting issue, given the fact that this was a piece of legislation that was passed by the electorate, not something that was manufactured in one way or the other by a legislature or by the federal government.
What's interesting here is that in this pretzel logic that Walker is engaging in, he says right in his opening statement that there is no strike zone.
Yes.
Now, there is no fixed strike zone. Let's talk about that for a minute, Barry. In overturning the decision of the people, remember that one of the calls that a number of people of Walker's stripe are using and saying is that we the people decide what the basis of law is. But in this case, all of a sudden, we the people don't count. And
right.
Walker is making an appeal in a very twisted and odd way to higher law. Now, what is the higher law that he's making an appeal to?
That's a good question.
Himself.
Yes. Well, see, now there's a bad answer.
It's a bad answer, but that's where it goes to.
It is. You're exactly right. There is no law higher than Judge Vaughn Walker, and he even says it, Chuck. And honestly, he in this article, he really exposes a lot of himself. He says here, and I quote, and we're taking many of these quotes not from his article itself, but from a report in CSNews.com written by Pete Wynn on yesterday on the 17th of September called Proposition 8 Judge, What Judges Do and Must Do in the Strike Zone. So I want to give credit there. But Judge Walker is quoted as saying, and I quote, that courts are particularly well-suited in some situations for lawmaking, even on fundamental issues. Unlike elected officials, judges, particularly federal judges, that's him, since he was the chief judge of the Northern District, are not looking to the next election for vindication or retention of their positions. In other words, we're here for life so they can get to us when we want to do what we want to do. And he goes on, he says, quote, although a courtroom is hardly a laboratory suitable for scientific experimentation, factual premises that underlie many social, economic, and political policies that have been legislatively enacted are exposed in a courtroom in a way that is not possible elsewhere. And he keeps going on, and he talks about here, he says that, and I quote in part, it is especially lonely, and he's talking about the witness stand, for someone who spouts a racial or gender theory, propositions without credible support, or, and here's the kicker, Chuck, dogmas born of myths and unsubstantiated beliefs. Let's parse that for our listeners,
yeah, let's
Chuck.
Do.
What he's saying basically is Christians holding to what they consider truth. That's what he means by dogmas born of myths and unsubstantiated beliefs. He's saying that the Bible is a myth. This whole idea of one man, one woman marriage is a dogma. It's unsubstantiated, and it's just your belief. So, therefore, he, as the umpire, is going to rule you out of the ball game for that.
And thus he hits a foul ball.
Oh, yeah. So we can keep going with all of these baseball puns, but ladies and gentlemen, it's not funny because this is a significant issue with the reason why we have a constitution in place that spells out the role of the judiciary and the role of Congress. You see, Vaughn Walker didn't leave the bench because Congress said, you're being an activist and we're getting rid of you. He just retired and is drawing a healthy pension. And then can sit and write about how, hey, look what I did. Look at what I did to you. Yes, I fixed the ball game so that the home team could win.
Well, we're out of time. I think there's another quote here that is absolutely stunningly telling, and that is, in the hurly-burly of electoral politics in the halls and hearing rooms of legislative bodies, long-winded and evasive assertions are rarely challenged effectively, but a courtroom is different. Don't think so. In fact, this entire assertion by this judge is rather long-winded and evasive.
Yes, it is, a matter of fact. But that's what happens, Chuck, when you're the ultimate authority, Vaughn Walker thinks he is, and that is, it doesn't matter, you can say whatever you want to say, because at the end of the day, you're the one making the rules.
And with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.